It's interesting how the Lord works. I was going to share this message earlier, but God didn't give me the go-ahead. Now I know why he wanted me to share it today, because of Cancer Awareness Month. I understand now. Father, you've been with each and every one this week, and you know, Lord, the things they're going through. Lord, maybe they lost their spouse, and they feel so all alone. Maybe perhaps on top of that, there's other things that have come in their life, and it just seems like it's one thing after another. I pray, Lord, that this message will give them encouragement and let them know that they're loved, and let them know that you are so close to us, so close. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These two verses in Psalms 119, verse 150 and verse 151, a translation of the original Hebrew text is read this way. When designing pursuers approached me, who are far from the law, then thou, O Jehovah, wast near with all thy faithful commandments. I believe in this passage is a very, very, very strong and glorious truth that can change your life, can bring you peace. It can give you rest beyond anything you have ever yet experienced. And once you understand the fact that God loves you and is continually near you, all fear and anxiety must go. In this text, the psalmist sees the wicked approaching, coming ever so closer in an attempt to ruin and to destroy him. And he's saying, vile and corrupt plotting sinners are gaining on me. They are all around me, and their power is mounting. They're bent on my total destruction. I know that we've all had such an enemy at one time or another. Petey, I thought, was going to preach my message today. It's the enemy of our souls. It's the devil. He has one purpose in mind. It's to destroy God's work and to discourage his people. He uses all of his power and craftiness to cut Christians off from the Lord's favor and from the Lord's presence. It's exactly what he's trying to do right now in some of your lives. He's attempting to wipe out everyone who follows him, who follows Jesus. In Psalms chapter 83 and verse 4, we see these words. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. This is, of course, referring to Israel. That the name of Israel may be remembered no more. This is also of spiritual significance to us as Christians. The devil has desired to cut us off so that we would be remembered no more. At times, it appears that the devil is on the verge of victory. But I can tell you that God is always so much closer. Satan will not be satisfied till he sees total ruin and downfall of every godly ministry, every church, and true lover of our Lord and Savior. He never stops. He's always pursuing. He's raging like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I assure you that the Lord pulled his teeth on Calvary. All he can do is make noise and intimidate you. He does try to intimidate you. He tries to make you feel worthless. I have a follow-up message on this of who told you that you was unworthy. This message is the nearness of God, but that one is who told you you was unworthy. That's what he likes to try to do, is to make you feel unworthy. You're not worthy to be here. Listen, not one of us are worthy to be here. But thank God, because of his grace, I am here. Because of his grace, I'm here. We still make mistakes. We still make wrong choices, but God loves you so much. He loves you so much. Satan stirred up Paul's enemies when he was in Antioch. They railed against him, the apostle. They tried to stone him. They dragged him out of the city. They thought he was dead. But I can tell you, God said no to the devil's plans in Antioch, and God delivered Paul. Before Paul's deliverance, can you imagine the multitudes of demons that looked on from the spirit world, laughing and gleefully counting the great preacher's last breath, waiting to attend his funeral? Can you see Satan himself boasting, "We have cut him down. We have razed him to the ground. We've ruined him. Paul and his preaching soon will be just a memory. We have destroyed the gospel of Paul. Paul has been brought down." But how wrong Satan was. When the disciples gathered around Paul, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe, Acts 14 and 20. Paul was raised up immediately and he marched right back into the city. He once testified, "Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." 2 Corinthians 1:9. If you love Jesus today, you are marked as a person in hell, and Satan will try to cut you down to the ground. And you might agree that I can feel those designing pursuers they're talking about here, about closing in on me. Some of you felt them point those darts that Satan has put me in a lion's den. This was David's condition. He testified, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us," in Psalms 124, 2 and 3. Think of the awful temptations that David had endured. A man after God's own heart, the scripture says. He was sorely tempted. He fell into adultery. He lied and murdered an innocent man. I'm sure that when the prophet Nathan exposed him, David might have been tempted to have Nathan executed. Of course, that would just worsen his sin. Perhaps Satan might have convinced David that he was down for the count, expecting him to throw up his hands and say, "What's the use? I've disgraced God. I've sinned against the light, committing the very sins that I've talked about and against, and God can never use me now." Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like you've made a decision in your life and you've done some things in your life that I can't see how God would be interested in using me? But thanks be to God for his wonderful grace. Wow. None of us would be here if it wouldn't be his wonderful grace. I'm glad he loves me so. I'm glad he loves me so much. The psalmist voices the hope of those who repent of their sins. "The Lord has chastened me severely." Listen to what David said. "The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death." Psalms 118, verse 18. What the psalmist said in essence was, "I was tempted and I was tried, but God would not turn me over to Satan's power or to the death that I deserved. He delivered me." The temptations and the trials that are sent upon us are not unusual, the Apostle Peter said. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." 1 Peter 4 and 12. And the Apostle Paul also adds to that, "No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There isn't anything strange about all what's happening to you. You may be discouraged because the enemy has come against you like a flood. The attack could be through perhaps lust or covetousness, or maybe you're having a financial crisis, or how about a health scare? You think, "Here I am, Pastor. I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to do my best to love him and to be faithful to him, but things keep getting worse. Is there something wrong with me? Why do my problems keep piling up? Have you ever been there? I have. I'll never forget the news we got when we were in Lancaster. We were in one of these little craft stores, and Penny's cell phone rang. It was her doctor. What a wonderful man, Dr. Hummel. No family relation with him, but precious doctor. And he told her that he had some bad news for her. She'd have to take radiation treatments, probably 30-some treatments. What a discouragement that was. You ever been there? Then I thought, if that wasn't enough, after the radiation treatments, the cancer went from her reproductive organs to her lungs, stage 4. But I can tell you that God delivereth. He delivereth. Her recent visit to the doctor said, "What did you see on your scan?" She said, "I thought it was pretty much the same." He said, "No, it's not the same." He said, "It's better than the same." He said, "You're cancer free." God delivers. He answers. He hears your cries. He's given us more time. And so we must make sure that we give him his time. He gave us our time. Would you give him your time? What season of life are you in? Perhaps you're in the last season of your life and you don't know it. None of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. So I urge you to look around at others this morning. On your right, on your left, in front of you, behind you. Everyone is going through something. Behind those smiles of you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are many tears. When we walk in here, we put our Christian smile on. But God sees your tears. He sees them. He sees when you're hurting, when you're going through trials that you know nothing about. No, you're not alone in your suffering. Your trial is not some strange, unusual circumstance. What you are going through is common to many. And so I want to give you some glorious news. The devil is not as eager to destroy you as God is to deliver you. God is more prepared to keep his promise to you than the devil is to ruin you. And the nearer the enemy comes to you, the Lord is all the more closer and nearer to you. Never forget that. When you think you're going through something that you just don't know how you can handle it, God is as close to you as he possibly can be. And I will prove that with scripture. When the designing pursuers approached me, who were far from the law, then thou, O Jehovah, was near with all thy faithful commandments. Lord, if my enemies are approaching to destroy me, you are near to me in my time of need. God says he's especially near to the downcast and the brokenhearted in order to defend them. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as a contrite spirit. Psalms 34 and 18. Are you a child of God today? Does the Lord Jesus live in you? God says he's near to you in your anguish. And so here is his promise to you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 5. The psalmist Asaph just testified of the Lord. You hold me, listen to this, you hold me by my right hand. Psalm 73, 23. What he was saying is God's not only near you, but he is walking with me hand in hand through this whole mess. Let all my enemies come after me. I've got my hand in the Father's. Asaph said that God gave him counsel and direction. You will guide me with your counsel, Psalm 73 and 24. So many dear Christians, they have incredible hardships, problems that keep piling up, discouragements that continue coming at them. Humanly speaking, these all seem to be impossible situations, but I can tell you God deals in the impossible, doesn't he? Do you have an impossible situation in your life? Have you talked to him about it? Have you asked him, Lord, help me. Help me with this situation. My heart goes out to everyone who has experienced such trials. But I can tell every Christian today, you need to be convinced that you are precious, you are loved, and God is near. In fact, the nearer the enemy comes, the more faithful God is to reveal his nearness, and more tightly he holds his precious child's hands. If you can believe that God is near, you must believe that he's going to also act on your behalf. God's honor is at stake when we pray to him. He won't be mocked for not answering. The Bible says of him, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Psalms 121, verse 3 and 4. You see, our God is awake to our needs at all times. He is attentive to every pain and every hurt. And this is what he promises you if you'll practice drawing near to him. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who also hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds by his name. Rejoice before him, Psalm 68, verses 1 through 4. So I would admonish you to talk today to the Lord. Look for his nearness in your life. He will do all these things for you. He will scatter your enemies. He'll drive away all the demonic pursuers. You will know the blessed grip of his hand at all times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.